and welcome to another episode of A Closer Look. I'm Laurie Hackett, and I'm your host for tonight. And listeners, as you know, each month we have the chance to really dive in, to get to know people who are doing so many great things in our community, people who are working at nonprofits or spending their time giving back and volunteering. Well, tonight we have two guests who I just know you're going to enjoy the conversation. I know I'm really looking forward to it. And we're going to get right into it. So our first guest tonight is someone I've known for a long time. We volunteer together and a friend. Listeners, please join me in welcoming Judy Harris. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Laurie.
Absolutely. Thanks for being with us. And Judy is chair of the Estate, Trust, and Tax Group of Norris McLaughlin Attorneys, based in Allentown.
Yes. I've been with the firm for 25 years. I co-chair the firm's Estate and Trust and Tax Group. We have offices in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and New York City. I'm based in the Allentown office, where I chair the Estate, Trust, and Tax Group.
And Judy, I know you're based in Allentown. I know you and the firm do so much and give back.
We're very fortunate at Norris McLaughlin, as we were over the decades with Butsutters and Tallman and Tallman Hutters, the predecessor firms of Norris McLaughlin. There really is a culture that encourages and expects us to be involved in the community as volunteers and leaders.
And where did that culture of giving back and philanthropy, how did that start?
As early as, you know, Bob Tallman was very much involved when I joined the firm in 2000, and Bob was very involved. Actually, all of the more senior partners there were. It was just expected. Mm-hmm. And I saw many instances. I was already involved in the community, but it was not unusual for a senior partner to approach a young attorney in the firm and say, I know this board is looking for a board member. It would help if it were someone schooled in the law or a certain specialty in the law. Would you be interested in talking to these people and maybe joining the board?
Mm-hmm. And that certainly spirit of giving back and involvement continues today.
Mm-hmm. It helps everybody. Exactly. It's a win-win.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Judy, you specifically, I know, are involved with Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival. I know you've been a longtime board member and such a strong ambassador and friend and cheerleader, supporter of PSF, as well as the Allentown Symphony. I think you were involved with the Fund to Benefit Children and Youth. What motivates you? Why is it that you have made the difficult decision, given all that you have going on, to be so involved as a community leader?
Well, as you, one of the people who's more involved in the community than anyone else I know, and thank you for all you do, it makes one feel pretty good, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Knowing that you live in a great community and you might have a hand in making it even better by the things you do. I'm pleased and grateful that my parents had that same outlook and their parents. And the book I lent you is a book my dad was in. Stigler, Wells, and Brunswick did a kind of feel-good book about leaders in the community in all areas of life, business, industry, clergy, the arts, all kinds of things, education. And I read this book and saw everybody talking about what made the Lehigh Valley so special. And when I read it 45 years later, those quotes still hold truth. We have a lot of sophistication of the big city. But I drove to see a client in Schnecksville earlier this week. Within 10 minutes, I was surrounded by farmland and the most beautiful scenery you could imagine. My husband is a physician trained in New York from Brooklyn. He must say to me at least once a week, Judy, you were so lucky to grow up here. It is just idyllic.
And your offices are in downtown Allentown.
We are. We were always a downtown firm until mm-hmm. our then firm was in the corporate plaza that collapsed in the water main break. We moved to the burbs for a while. And at our opportunity, when J.B. Riley invited us, we moved back downtown to City Center 3, the site of the old Colonial Theater, to the old courthouse near all three courthouses.
And back to some of your volunteer work, is there an example that you could share with our listeners of one of the activities you've been involved with either PSF or the symphony, that reminds you you're exactly where you should be and you're really making a difference?
Well, I'm thinking of the Allentown Symphony, where I've been on the board since 1993. The Shakespeare Festival, maybe 13 years I've been on that board. The Lehigh County Agricultural Society, which has at the Agriplex and the fairgrounds
oh,
and
yes.
the Allentown Fair. That began in the 1800s, and I've been on the board probably since 1993. And the Fund to Benefit Children and Youth, maybe 24 years. You know, each one of those, the mission is so clear and so needed mm-hmm. in our community that all I have to do, I mean, it's great to go to board meetings and lead strategic planning exercises and think about the future and what we need to be to serve the community. But I just need to go to one of those organizations' events to feel really great, whether it's a performance at the symphony mm-hmm. or the Shakespeare Festival, or get a letter from a child who and parents who are benefited by the fund, or go to anything at the fairgrounds. I was just there this morning. Gosh, just being there and seeing the mission in motion is enough for me.
That's wonderful. I didn't know about the fairgrounds. So your volunteer experience is also varied, from arts to, you know, youth to all kinds of things. Here's a question I've always wondered about. As an attorney by day, if you will, and then you are out doing your volunteer leadership, are there some skills that you take from your life as an attorney that you can bring and transfer out to your volunteer work, or in the reverse? Do you learn things while you're volunteering that you bring back to the firm and to your work?
Well, I learn every day in any of my work with any of these organizations. So it's a give and take, and I always feel as though I get much more from these organizations mm-hmm. than I give them. But as a lawyer, I'm often asked to lead the bylaws committee.
Yep. I'm always asked to lead the fundraising committee.
Of course.
So I appreciate
and
it.
And how apt. Yes, indeed. Recently I led a strategic planning initiative for two of these organizations, mm-hmm. but had wonderful thinkers in all areas of life on those committees, and they kind of drove, the success of those. But yes, governance issues. I'm on the governance committee of each of these, and I mm-hmm. love it. I also love being on the committees. PSF calls it Committee on Directors. Some people call it the nominating committee. Trying to bring new talent to the organization to make it better. So I feel as though I can really use some of the tools I use every day, representing business clients and individual clients, to make these organizations stronger and long-lasting.
And it's such a great message for our listeners that what we do, there are gifts and skills and competencies that you have at work that nonprofits would love to benefit from. I mean, you gave some great examples of how you do that.
We're very fortunate, mm-hmm. aren't we?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Speaking of, one thing I wanted to mention, I know you were recently honored by PBS with the Good Neighbor Award. Could you talk a little bit about what that meant to you?
Well, I'll start by saying I was completely surprised, never expected. I had assisted them with the gala over several years because I knew several of the people who were and organizations and businesses that were honored over the last few years, mm-hmm. many of whom are my idols and my mentors, people I just revere. So this was not expected, but it meant a lot to me. And a dear friend with whom I sit on the symphony board, Eileen Hochberg Wood, mm-hmm. was also a recipient. And Eileen is certainly a testament to the good that can be done in the Valley in all kinds of ways by volunteers and board members. And the Colberts, with their initiative, their nonprofit, mm-hmm. which is so incredibly important to the Lehigh Valley. I learned a lot about them and what they do to help the Valley. So it was a learning experience. I'm very grateful to PBS 39. Never expected, but it was a great opportunity to learn more about the Valley.
That's great. And you got a red sweater like Mr. Rogers. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
How nice. So that'll be a beautiful reminder of that. Judy, some people listening might be thinking of getting involved or maybe don't know how to get started. Any advice for that, for people who are interested in getting involved as a volunteer?
Well, I think you would agree with me that there are innumerable opportunities to do mm-hmm. so. And we know most people you and I know are very busy and have many commitments. But more than anything, on these governance committees on which I sit, mm-hmm. we're looking for passion for the mission of the organization. If we don't see passion, but we see a lot of talent, you know, we'll want to have a discussion with the person. So I would say, think about what areas of life you are passionate about and how you think you could add to these mm-hmm. initiatives, and talk to a Laurie Hackett or even someone like me. I think it would make us very happy to find a wonderful match for somebody who has that passion and time. They talk about time, talent, and treasure. Mm-hmm. So if you have those three things, and treasure can come in very different forms. It doesn't have to be money. Exactly. It can be all kinds of gifts of wisdom and guidance.
I love that. You know, that made me think about, and you also said this at the beginning, that your firm from the beginning has always encouraged, you know, all of your team members to get out and get involved. With Norris McLaughlin, I know you have a lot of young, really talented attorneys and staff that you've brought on. Are you hopeful for that new generation? Like, what experience are they having? And what are you seeing as you're involved? We've been around for a while. What are you seeing in the new leadership coming up?
I'm seeing very, very bright, ambitious lawyers, some of whom grew up here, many of whom did not, but for whatever great reason, they were brought mm-hmm. here and were so thrilled. Some of the more senior partners in our firm, it was Lehigh University or Muhlenberg College, or, you know, it might have been education, it might have been a spouse's job or their first job. But I see a lot of talent among the younger attorneys in our firm. I see a lot of desire to help the community. Surveys might tell us that younger generations aren't necessarily as driven to community work, but I'm not convinced of that. I want to help these young lawyers find their passion in the community.
That's great, and we see them, don't you? I mean, I certainly see them out on boards, and it's just so wonderful to have that we benefit from that creativity, that different perspective.
Truly.
Yeah, oh my gosh, absolutely. Judy, as we're almost at the end of our time, but one question I always love to ask is, you mentioned your parents and your grandparents have been involved for a long time. That's what I was wondering. Is there someone else that really is a mentor to you? Is someone who motivates you every day to become the kind of servant leader that you are?
I could spend the next hour doing that, and I won't, answering that question, Laurie. But thank you for asking it. Mm-hmm. And I'll just mention that early on, I had two mentors, Norm Peel and Mike Egan, both local attorneys, both former IRS attorneys, and it was the three of us, and ultimately I joined Norris McLaughlin, and with the blessing of my partners, asked Norm and Mike to join us, and Mike did join us. I stepped into Mike's shoes as counsel to the Century Fund, which was Don Miller's, he created it during his life and left much of his estate to the Century Fund. He was the Morning Call from the Morning Call family who really drove success to the Morning Call with some other family members. And it was the original trustees who became my mentors. Dave Bausch, Jack Lay, Grant Harrity, Alice Ann Miller, then Sister Joan Miller, the daughters of Don. And then Lee Butz replaced Dick Hummel when we lost Dick Hummel. Of course, Dave Bausch. Don Bernhard, Reverend Bob Stevens. I think of those people every day because I sat around a table with them for several years until the Century Fund sunset in 2021. They taught me so much by just letting me be in the room at the table while they thought, how can we improve the Lehigh Valley?
Right. Oh, I love that. And I know that you are doing that for others now.
I'm trying.
Yeah, absolutely. Judy, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here at the studio to talk. First of all, for our listeners to get to know you a little bit more and for you to share some of your learnings and experiences.
Thank you, Laurie. Thank you for asking me today. And thank you for all you do in our Lehigh Valley.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Well, listeners, again, we were joined by Judy Harris. And Judy is a really involved community leader. And she is an attorney with Norris McLaughlin. We're going to take a small break and then we'll be right back.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm your host, Laurie Hackett, and we just had a wonderful conversation with Judy Harris. And joining us now in the studio is a friend of mine, probably a friend of many of our listeners as well. Listeners, please join me in welcoming Keith Lampman-Perlman. Welcome, Keith.
Thank you, Laurie. Nice to be here.
Thanks for being here. Have you been in the DIY studio before?
I've been here once before with Laurie Siebert.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were on her wonderful show. She's incredible.
I was. I adore Laurie Siebert. Yes. It's fun. So the two Lauries.
There you go. So, Keith, you are the Director of Development with Project of Easton.
Yes.
Tell us about the agency, please.
Project of Easton is a nonprofit that was founded in 1968, and our mission is to build a better community or communities by helping people help themselves. And to tell you the truth, Laurie, the reason I moved to the Lehigh Valley is because of Project of Easton's mission. Helping people help themselves is how I like to think I live my life.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you moved here specifically for this role?
Absolutely.
And how long have you been in the role?
I've been in the role about a year and 7 months.
Okay. And Project of Easton is located in Easton, downtown Easton, correct?
320 Ferry Street.
So who are you serving?
We're serving the entire Lehigh Valley, actually, Laurie, because we do... our programs, our GED programs, we have six distinct yet integrated programs. People come from throughout the Lehigh Valley, which a lot of people don't realize when they come to know Project of Easton. One of the things that surprises people the most when they come on a tour, which I do regularly, is that we do serve the entire Lehigh Valley. And right now we're serving almost 8,000 people.
8,000 people annually?
Annually.
A little bit more. And so who...
That includes our food pantry.
Okay.
And it's individuals, so it includes children as well.
How big is the staff at Project of Easton?
Our staff is 24 people.
Okay.
And I work with a team. I'm actually speaking on behalf of a team today. You know, none of us can do what we do by ourselves. It's a teamwork approach. I call it Team Project. I hashtag Team Project on everything that I write, if possible. And I'm always happy to speak. People think I, you know, go to parties for a living, but...
Same. I get that all the time. Do you just go to galas for a living?
Right. But we're going to share the mission of Project of Easton. Again, helping people help themselves. And we do that through the six distinct yet integrated programs.
So what brought you, or how did you discover the opportunity at Project of Easton? And what skills that you had before made you such a perfect fit for this role?
It's kind of you to say perfect fit for the role. I certainly aspire to be a perfect fit for the role, Laurie. But it is funny because I came to Project of Easton by almost a fluke because I received a telephone call from an executive recruiter. Now, I've been recruited and been all over the place. I jokingly tell people, but it's the truth, that I have the most nonlinear path to the Lehigh Valley of anybody that I know. I've had several jobs before I settled down about 12 years ago. I would, you know, be recruited every 2 to 3 years, which is a whole nother segment about fundraisers in particular. You know, it's not a good thing to have your major gift officer or your chief development officer, you know, leaving every 18 to 24, 36 months. But I had done that, following the money and following the fun, the joy of traveling around the country and having an office in different parts of the country. But when I received a phone call from a stranger, I just took the phone call and she was able to convince me to stay on the call long enough to hear that Project's mission was helping people help themselves. And it moved me. And it's as authentic and true as I can get, but the mission, helping people help themselves, is like I try to live my life. So I listened further, and one thing led to another, and I jokingly say again, but it's the truth, six interviews later, and here I am.
So when you first arrived in the Lehigh Valley for the first interview, what did you find and what did you think?
I found what I call a gritty organization, you know, an organization that when I say gritty, I mean No fancy offices. Mm-hmm. I met people that were dressed casually as we do each day. Our served population have many insecurities. They're not coming in dressed up. I don't want to intimidate anyone. Nobody that works for Project of Easton can be dressed as though they're going to a banking or a corporate office. Mm-hmm. So we dress as best we can on most days to fit in, mm-hmm. and to be non-threatening. It's another one of those that I call barrier breakers, breaking down any anxiety that our served population may have. So making them feel comfortable, making them feel as though they're one of us, we are one of them. And we have to be authentic in that feeling as well. I don't believe anybody at Project of Easton is there. I know we're not there for the money or there's no fame. You know, we're there to lift people up, mm-hmm. and help them. I always tell people we're giving a hand up, not a hand out. And that seems to resonate well with a lot of our donors.
Oh, that's wonderful. You're such a servant leader in that way.
Well, I like to think that we are servant leaders. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I love that term. Keith, when you think about the work that you do, the skills that you have as you arrived here at Project of Easton, what did you find in working with the city or with other nonprofits? Have you seen a spirit of collaboration?
I've seen a great change in the spirit of collaboration. So our executive director came about 4 months before I did. So the previous executive director retired, and the board hired Kim Chekai, who's our executive director, and she, about 4 months after she arrived, hired me as the director of development. So for a full year, we used the tagline, honoring our history, transforming our future. And I like to think that, you know, we honor those that came mm-hmm. before us, the staff and board that came before us, and they've left us in a good space to be able to leap from that and transform our future. We're going to help mm-hmm. as many people as we can. I'd like to write us all out of a job. Mm-hmm. You know, our goal is to not have a job, because we want everybody to have succeeded, to have grown, to have earned their GED, to have earned their English as a second language certificate and become bilingual. Right. You know, we don't want any need for our services, but sadly they're growing. Mm-hmm. So here we are.
You're well-placed, my friend. Well, I mean, really love to hear it.
I appreciate hearing that, Lori. But
let's talk about you, though. Tell us a little bit more about what motivates you, or who. Did you have a mentor or somebody early on that helped create this great enthusiasm and great spirit within you?
Well, the authentic part of me mm-hmm. just says it's my parents. And I know that sounds trite and tried, and it's true.
It's true.
My parents were each servant leaders. We lost my mother 8 years ago in April, but she went the way she would have liked to have gone. So I definitely follow in her footsteps. I am much more like my mother with regard to personality than I am like my dad. My dad, who just turned 87 in April, is a quiet ride, I call him. He very rarely speaks, but when he does, you listen. And that's mm-hmm. how we grew up. Mm-hmm. We grew up with a great deal of respect for each other and respect for our fellow human beings, regardless of background or, you know, place in life. That's where I would say, and no one has ever asked me that question. So I appreciate it, but it also caught me off guard. I hope mm-hmm. I answered it appropriately.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's lovely. And I don't think it's not trite to say your parents. Like, not yeah. everybody has that.
I'm blessed. I'm definitely blessed. My husband would say that I was raised in a Hallmark movie of sorts. Oh. I mean, I really had a fortunate beginning.
And that, I'm sure, adds to why anyone who meets you knows that you are this positive, energetic force.
Well, I like to think, you know, if you're going to do it, you may as well do it and do it with everything you've got in you and do it fun. And I think that, you know, you mentioned feisty earlier in an email. And I love that, because mm-hmm. I never use that, but that word to describe myself. Mm-hmm. But how often do we describe ourselves?
Right. True. So let's talk about that. You haven't been in the Valley very long. You know more people than I do. talk about that. Why, how, who has really moved you? Talk a little bit about your experience about being relatively new here.
Well, it's interesting to walk into a room. Now, I've had experience doing this, as I said, throughout the country, walking into a place that I don't know. And that doesn't bother me. I'll walk up and, you know, it's awkward for 2 seconds while you're interrupting somebody, obviously, by saying, hello, I'm new here. I'd like to introduce myself. But I think that we're blessed to have such a wonderful United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to be told by a couple of people. One of them was Danny Cohen, who a lot of people know from the Easton area and all throughout the Lehigh Valley. He's been on Project of Easton's board for 57 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Nonstop, uninterrupted. Wow. Anyway, he told me
a few
names.
How are those term limits?
It's kind of fun. I think he was the one that applauded that we just recently instituted term limits for our board. So that makes me laugh. But he suggested that I meet Lori Hackett, and that's no joke, and Marcy Lesko, and Ashley Russo, and isn't that funny? Three powerful women of the Valley. So I straight away wrote you on LinkedIn. I still have it, obviously, the LinkedIn message, and got a reply from you. And, you know, it's taken us this long, but here we are today. Mm-hmm. Now I see you at all the events. We know each other, and it's fun. But I think that, you know, I'm influenced by you three women, for sure, watching how you work throughout a room. And I don't even call it working a room. I call it shining your light throughout the Lehigh Valley, and certainly through your relationships and working the room. It's really shining a light throughout the room, and I enjoy that. I want to live like you do.
Keith, that's so lovely. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And I remember the first time we met in person, we were at an event, a United Way event. And your sincerity, I think we don't talk enough in this world about sincerity. And you are who you are. And it is a beautiful thing. And you're going to make your job at Project of Easton or your volunteer work or your, you know, wherever you are, exactly who you are. And bring all of that. Are you a mentor to others?
I like to think that I'm a mentor to others, but I like to think that I'm a mentor by attraction and not promotion. So what I do is, and to kind of refer to what you just said, I am the same right now as I will be at 8:30 this evening, although I may be almost asleep by then. I'm one of those early birds. I'm the first one in the office in the morning. But it is true. I think that's called authentic. Mm-hmm. I am what I am at noon and the same thing at 8:30 in the evening. It is what it is.
Yep. And you've had a successful career. You know what works for you. And also, you're doing what you love and what really matters.
Mm-hmm. I do have boundaries. You do learn as you go throughout the career. There is something to having a few miles on you, as I always say, or my my dad would say. I grew up a farmer.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh. I grew up throwing 22,000 bales of hay a year, and that surprises everybody because I think I dress a certain way and I act a certain way. And
people wouldn't know that.
People would never know that I came from a farming background.
Yep. Well, Keith, unfortunately, we are at the end of the program. But before we go, if somebody wanted to get more involved in Project of Easton, how could they find you or the agency?
Thank you for asking. ProjectEaston.org is our website. That'll give you all the information that you could possibly need to know about Project of Easton, with the exception of our newly announced capital campaign, which is a $6.5 million capital campaign, which will be called Expanding for Impact Under One Roof. And it's the Under One Roof that really matters, because it's bringing each of our six distinct yet integrated programs together under one roof. Right now we're in three or four different locations, and it just makes it difficult. Again, it's breaking down barriers, because someone doesn't want to leave their child and go two blocks even down to take classes. So we want to break all the barriers possible and be under one roof. So again, that will be described in more depth and detail in the next coming months.
Perfect. Perfect. Again, listeners, we were joined by Keith Lampman-Perlman, and Keith is a director of development for Project of Easton. Keith, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I appreciate very much you having me on this morning.
You bet. And please join us every Monday night for all kinds of public affairs programming, listeners. You can always tune into WDIY and hear great music, get to know a neat host, or learn more about what's happening in the Lehigh Valley. Thanks for joining us this evening, and we look forward to seeing you next time on A Closer Look.